Welcome to the See You Next Summer podcast. I am your host, Billy Polahan, and with me, as always, is my amazing co-host, Raul Rodriguez.
I drive it like you stole it. Hi, what's up, guys? Here's Raul, as always, and today we're going to do one of my favorite musicals. We're going to do Sing Street.
Yes, I cannot thank Raul enough for doing Sing Street. It is a 2016 feature directed by John Carney, who did such hits as Once and Begin Again.
Mm-hmm.
Made in Ireland by an Irish director, written by the director, the story by the director, and starring a mostly Irish cast.
Yeah.
And we learned about this movie through Screen Junkies and a terrible person. I mean, just the worst person.
Oh, yeah.
He would not stop talking about Sing Street, and then pretty soon, all the fans watched it, and now it's a classic, because the music in it is great, the story is great. It's one of the most optimistic, uplifting movies you will ever see in your life. And how did you come across this, Raul?
Exactly like you said. It was through the 18. Screen Junkies, it was the same way. This movie, it was a surprise for me when I saw it. It has a lot of layers. There's a lot of things like that I love, like you said, the musical. I love the way that it's written. I love the characters. I love the way that it's shot. But also, it has a lot of layers, especially a thing that I didn't notice it before until now, that is also a story about brothers. And I think I told you before pre-recording that technically Brendan, Jack Raynor, he's technically Barley from Onward.
Yeah, you would not stop talking about that. And that actually brings us to our plot synopsis. So it's taking place in Dublin, Ireland in 1985. And a man named Robert Lawler, he's struggling with his architecture practice. And his marriage is falling apart and he just drinks and smokes ridiculous amounts, and this man is played by Aidan Gillen, or Littlefinger from Game of Thrones, using his actual accent, because, yes, I learned he's Irish because of this movie. Never would have thought that.
The Scorch!
The Scorch! Sansa Stark! So, yes. We meet our main character, Connor, played by Ferdia Walsh-Pilo. I think this was his first feature. Same thing with the other great main character, Lucy Boynton, who is Rafina.
Mm-hmm.
Great names, by the way. You never hear anybody named Rafina in a movie. A couple of Connors, but
yeah,
not many Rafinas. Anyway, to save money, mm-hmm, they send Connor to a Christian Brothers school.
Mm-hmm.
So it's run by some essentially priests and monks, called Sing Street, and it's an actual place, which I thought was awesome. And we get to meet Connor's older brother, Brendan, because, you know, he's there too. He's the stoner dropout, total loser in all sense of the words, but he's got a good spirit and he's just got a great sense of life, and he doesn't have a purpose, but he's great at guiding his brother to have a purpose.
Yeah, because that's the thing. It's kind of like the big part of the story. And also, as always, sometimes we forget, but if you have listened to the podcast for 40, almost, this is like the episode 33, you know that we talk about spoilers and the whole thing. But yeah, Brendan, he's technically, like I said, kind of like Barley. He's a dropout. He doesn't know what to do with his life, but also he's kind of like making a road ahead for Connor that is also you're going to get that reveal later in the film. And I really forgot about that detail about Brendan, and Jack Raynor is fucking amazing. He's one of the highlights of the movie.
For me, he's the best character in the movie. So Connor starts the new school. He's got the new uniform and everybody just looks at him menacingly because he went to a private school and they're all boys. It's a bad place to be. Like, there's no discipline or anything like that. It's chaos. although kind of fun if you didn't give a shit about school. But yes, Connor is just immediately bullied by this guy named Barry for no reason. And the main monk, Brother Baxter, gives him shit because he didn't have black shoes. And he has brown shoes, but he can't afford that. He can barely go to this school. He does meet a ginger kid named Darren, and he's great, although his accent is very thick, probably the thickest of everybody in this movie. You can understand them pretty well, but this kid, I had to put on subtitles.
Yeah, like, I really like Darren, especially the way that he's like, oh, yeah, and I have a kind of like a business card and everything, but I was like, where's the number? You just need to go there. But also, a thing that I really like, the thing at the beginning of why they're bringing out Connor to a Christian school because they want to save money. And that's a thing that I really love. I was like, when Littlefinger was like, yeah, they have a motto. It's called very little age. It was like, and then Brendan was like, what's that mean? Let's rape our students? No, Brendan. It says act manly. And then the name of the school is Cinch Street. It was like, and then they made that wordplay with Sing Street.
For sure. And then one day, just after Barry punches him right in the face and steals his Mars bar and eats it disgustingly, by the way. This is after he meets Darren. He notices Rafina across the street, and he is immediately smitten, like Anakin with Padme. And he just goes, I'm going to talk to her. Darren is like, you sure about that? She doesn't talk to anybody. He just doesn't care. He just goes straight up, just makes small talk, and then immediately, oh yeah, I'm in a band, by the way. Just out of the blue. We know he doesn't have a band. We know he has great taste in music, because we get some, just a ton of awesome 80s music in the background as well. We got Hall & Oates, Duran Duran, and the line that I love later in the movie is when Brendan is talking about Rafina's quote-unquote boyfriend and his taste in music, and he said Genesis, he goes, that won't be a problem. No woman will ever fall in love with a man that loves Phil Collins, which I felt personally offended by because I love Phil Collins music.
Yeah, especially I love the way that Connor looks at her and the way that Rafina is standing up, almost like Sandy from Grease. Like, she only, Rafina needed to say, what about it, stud? I really like that especially the way that kind of sounds like, you want a light? I was like, and I was like, no, I'm trying to give up. I was like, well, I don't have any matches anyway. You're not in school. I'm a model. So I'm going to go to London. I was like, you want to be in a video? I'm in a band. And then Rafina, so I was like, have you ever been in a video before? No, that wouldn't be a problem. I had to ask my producer. Who's your producer? That kid over there. And Darren was like, hell yeah. And there was like, can I have your digits? And so if you're in a band, sing me a song. It's like, I don't want to sing here, but you have to sing in front of 1,000 people. And just one sing. I was like, see that song by radio by AHA. Take on me. And then Rafina gets so impressed by him. And then he immediately goes to Darren and was like, we need to form a band.
And so the first stop, we visit this kid, Eamon. And he is obsessed with rabbits. Why? I have no idea, but it is funny as shit. They literally ask, what's with the rabbits? And he just goes, I don't know. I just like them. When they're naming the band later, he goes, the rabbits. And they're like, seriously, what's up with the rabbits, dude? They go to this kid, Ingig, I think is his name. He's Zimbabwean. His mother is a very thick, accented Zimbabwean woman. And then Darren is just like, he thinks he doesn't speak English or anything. And he's just like, oh, what the hell is wrong with this kid? He's like, I've lived here half me bloody life, so I don't get it. He subverts expectations. And then we get the twins, Larry and Gary. Gary with two R's. One of them, I think it's Gary. He's the little one. They get the call after Connor put up a poster in school asking for band members. They needed a bass player and drums. And Eamon can play multiple instruments as well. He can play piano. He can play drums. He can play guitar. It's really cool.
Yeah, especially I like the introduction of Eamon because he's showing the instruments that he can do. Especially when he asked Connor, I was like, what's going to be our style? I was like, I'm a futurist. no nostalgia, not looking backwards, not like your dad's band. And I'm like, Cuff, take notes, Disney. Sorry. And then the mom was like, don't smoke. And then they go immediately to smoking. And then they meet Angig. And then we meet the twins, like you said. And I really like when I was like, what am I going to call the band? And then you said the rabbits. I was like, and Connor said, I was like, what if we call it La Vie? I was like, it means the life. And then Iman said, what about Sing Street? And then they just walk super legendary, like they just created the best fucking band ever.
At first, they do a bunch of covers. And then Connor brings it over to Brendan, because Brendan has great taste in music, and he's the older brother. He's very encouraging of Connor doing this. Because Connor doesn't have a lot of confidence in himself, and we see that he lets people just walk all over him. And Brendan doesn't really want that for his brother. He's also got a younger sister in the movie, but she doesn't really do much. I just like that he goes, make your own style, cut the bullshit, write your own songs. And he goes, I don't know how to write songs. And he's just like, yeah, you do. Because he notices things like that.
Yeah, especially when they listen to the cover that we're doing about Rio from Duran Duran. And they're like, ooh. And like he's like, grabs the table, was like, I needed to... The stink away was like, this fucking sucks. And even takes out the tape and kind of was like, you know, we can tape over it. I was like, no, you have to destroy it. here's your homework. He gives him a lot of vinyl albums, like to learn about it. And then they were gonna see kind of like they're practicing, that like kind of like they're already composing another song. Oh, and also we see Iman's mother. I listen to them in practice, and she's playing with a dildo.
Yeah, it's very weird.
Yeah.
But yes, they shoot their first video called The Riddle of the Model, and it is a terrible song. It's my least favorite song in the movie. I mean, it's funny, don't get me wrong, but it's intentionally supposed to be bad.
I like the song.
And catchy for what it is, but compared to everything else, like Up or Way to Find You, or, of course, Drive It Like You Stole It, which is a total bop, one of my favorite songs in the entire movie. It's very weak. Barry notices them, and he's there with his dad. His dad just smacks him really hard in the face.
Yes. And also, we forgot one of the trademarks of Brendan. It was like, you're not in a cover band, says to Connor. It was like, you will never be in you don't want to be in your 30s without a deal or a record deal. Rock and roll is a risk. You risk to being ridiculed. And then we see them kind of like composing the real the model. It was like, she's standing in a corner like an angel in disguise. She could be a model. She has dangerous eyes. And then they're like composing the song. And then he takes the recording to Rafina, and I was like, we're gonna record the video on Saturday. I was like, yeah, and also you need to bring something kind of like, we're gonna have kind of like some Easter theme. I was like, oh, pretty cool. What is the name of the song? I was like, The Riddle of the Model. It's not about you though, it's about another model that I know. And Rafina was like, you got game, boy. And then we see them like doing the music video, having all of these different outfits, the cowboy. They don't want to wear makeup. And then Rafina was like, we need to do more, a lot of things. I was like, who's the cameraman? And Darren was like, I am the cameraman. I was like, I thought you were the manager. We're saving money. I have multiple roles.
And I love that he shows Brendan the music video and he just goes, okay, this could be good. You're almost there. Again, encouraging him like crazy. And we also hear Connor's parents arguing like crazy. It's very uncomfortable to watch because it's done really realistic. And so what they do is just listen to music or smoke weed in Brendan's case. Connor actually gets the courage to wear makeup the next day at school. And they're all like, oh, look, it's David Bowie. And so Brother Baxter, of course, you know, this is in Ireland where the Catholic Church reigns supreme, so their word is law. He forces him to wash the makeup off, literally puts his head in the sink, essentially almost drowning him because he wouldn't do it. And he's getting some balls standing up to just the lead of the school.
Yeah, the Brother Baxter thing. That's for me, when you said that a scene hard to watch, that one is a scene hard to watch because the way that it was filmed, also like the abuse that that Connor is even facing, but he doesn't give a fuck. He just pulled his eye up and then he just passing the day through. And he missed Rafina again and was like, hey, I'm going to call you Cosmo. You need a band name. And that's kind of like the first nickname. Like the thing that you said, you still also we see Amon and Connor, they're already composing up. As also as he's also leaving the tape at Rafina's home. And she's there. You see Rafina listening to the tape and she noticing that Connor has feelings for her little by little.
Yeah, he literally talks to Brendan about how he feels about Rafina, and one of the things that he describes is, this is in the lyrics, I see the girl with the eyes I can't describe, suddenly it's a perfect Sunday, and everything is more than real life. She's very quick to catch on that he has feelings for her, just the way he looks at her and everything like that.
Yeah, because then you see Rafina, he's talking with Connor. It was like, that what love is, Cosmo. It's happy, sad. It has to be an amalgamation of so many different feelings. And then they're hugging. Then she says she's going to London. And then I was like, Brenda was like, wow, she's deep. Like, how old is she? 16? I think it's telling you that you need to reach a place in your life where you're okay with your sadness. That's pretty high concept. It's monastic. And then the sister was like, yeah, but the thing that you want is something unreachable. And then Brenda was like, anything could be a vocation, a poet, a taxi driver, a songwriter, anything could be in it. And also Brenda notices that she has daddy issues that she needs to protect him. And was like, Connor said, was like, every time I see her, her eyes are like clouds that are clearing past the moon. Sometimes I want to cry looking at her. And Brendan was like, that's your happy sad.
That's the thing that Rafina also says, that he is happy sad. And Brendan just gives him an album of The Cure. And then he dresses up like The Cure's, you know, getup. If you know what they look like, you know, it's a very specific getup. Now, before he was doing David Bowie, and he literally died. He got frosted tips in the front. It was ridiculous. Yeah, it was nuts. At this point, though, when Barry tries to bully him, he's just like, you don't exist in my world, man. Go right ahead. Just totally stumps him because, yeah, he doesn't give him any attention. Just totally shits on Barry, and he just walks right past him. I was just like, good for you. Building up your confidence. Getting the girl, by the way, when they were filming for the new music video for, I believe the song was
A Beautiful Sea.
Yep, Beautiful Sea. Because again, that's about Rafina that Cosmo at this point has written. She jumps in the sea because it wasn't looking good to fake it. And then she is just like, oh, I can't swim, by the way, just nonchalantly.
Yeah. And then Connor goes to save her. And then I was like, and Connor was like, why did you do it? I was like, because the video needed something. It needed a hurry motion. And I was like, but you don't know how to swim. That's about art, Cosmo. You can only know halves and you need to know more. And then Connor takes the chance to kiss her. And then they kiss and she's like, huh. And then Connor totally fucks it up. And so I was like, and what about Evan? And I was like, you ruined it. She's like, you ruined the moment. Evan is the other, he's kind of like the boyfriend fling of Rafina during the moment. It's the random asshole that has a car, has money. And also, they kind of like hint that he abused her many times, too.
Yeah, because later in the movie, she has like a mark on her face. It's very clear that he abuses her. I forget when in the movie, but at some point when Cosmo and Rafina are spending time, he takes her out on a ferry boat that his grandfather owned.
Yep.
And she keeps talking about going to London and everything. And he points out, oh, if you look over here, that's just off the coast of Wales. And I'm not doing an Irish accent at all. I don't want to offend any Irish person ever with an attempt. But yes, they go out on the ferry boat. And again, they talk more about each other. They tell each other more about themselves. It's very clear that Ruffina has some trouble. We learned earlier that her mom is manic depressive, happy sad, and her father was a drunk that was killed in an accident. So she's pretty messed up, more messed up than Cosmo is. Yeah, he's going through a lot because his family is just falling apart. But he is finding through this art and this hobby to impress this girl a new confidence and a perseverance, just general optimism about his life that I really, really appreciate, not just in this movie, but just for your life. You can use this.
Yeah, especially also because at the same time that they're discussing there in that tiny island there, he's talking about that he's riding driver like you stole it. Especially because they're already kind of like thinking to do a big gig, like for the school.
Oh yeah, and Brendan did say the phrase, drive it like you stole it, because they were listening to music.
And then we see that they're starting to compose it, and they're do their test, they're totally going to suck at it, they give up. And then he discussing, there was like a, it's kind of like a part of this song is about you, because the way that you turn your life around, it's like the way that you got crappy parents, you got so many stuff, and then you still go ahead. Especially how also they talk about a little about Brendan's backstory, that he was going to run away, but then later he didn't because his mother stopped him.
And I love that at that point in the movie, Brendan is just like, you know, for once in my life, I was awesome. I had 7 years with these two people that were not in love. They just had sex and they had a baby living in a flat. Then you come along. You know, I didn't achieve my dreams, but now you're on my path. And he said, that's fine, but for once, I want to feel like I was a fucking jet engine. That's what he describes it. And then he smashes some records. And it's very hard to watch because you've just seen this character that's been generally optimistic and encouraging of his brother, admitting that he is a bit jealous, and you can definitely understand why he is that way. Connor has a lot of things going for him that he just doesn't see, including just, you know, he gets friends from this. He makes awesome music that he made. He's got an older brother. He has a good positive influence that not many people have. You know, Ruffina certainly doesn't have that. And it's really nice to watch this movie as a general romance movie as well, because the romance feels organic and just earned. This director, John Carney, he did Once and Begin Again. Those are both also musicals that have love stories in them, and they are fantastic for a reason. This is his bread and butter. He knows what to do, and especially with actors this young, they're around like my age, even younger than that. I think this is Lucy Boynton's, one of her first movies ever, and they knock it out of the park completely.
Yeah, especially also when you, also during this whole argument, because that's why Brendan was so fed up with the world, because now the parents are finally going to split up. They're going to sell the house, because part of the big argument at the beginning, they're only together because they shared the mortgage of the house. And so they're going to finally split up. They're going to get really little money about it. And also the way that you brought up about Brendan, he's feeling kind of like a lot of guilt at the moment when he says, like, it's because I already gave you a pad and you're going to do the thing that I wanted to do. And of course, he feels like crap because he said that he's the stoner brother, he's the dropout, etc. But he wanted to feel something. He doesn't want Connor to give up because he already made the pad for him. As we see that they're kind of like already planning to record Drive It Like You Stole It as a big video, Ruffina doesn't show up, and they're at the school, and the teacher's like, hey, we only have a few minutes, you need to record right now. And then Connor, this is the scene that made me cry the most, because Connor is imagining the video that he wanted, like the big production that he wanted to make it like Back to the Future style. But then he mixes things that he wants. He wants Ruffina for him. He wants his brother to be clean up. He wants his parents to be happy and appreciate him and support him. He wants everything. But at the end, he notices that he has not a lot of things. And that's why even though Driver Like You Stole is one of the most happier songs in the movie, for me, it's a little sad because the way that you're seeing the scene.
Yeah, it comes at a low point for the character, probably the lowest point. And then we find out that Ruffina is no longer at the home that she was at. She was at an orphanage. And girls were betting on him to get together with Ruffina. I liked that detail. And then they were like, oh yeah, and your music's good. And then he notices Ruffina later on, and she tries to play it off like, oh, I'm her younger sister. And he goes, no, you're not. And then finds out Evan, the guy, didn't show up. And she's brushing it off like, oh, I don't care. He is deeply hurt by the fact that he didn't disclose any of this or just talk with him, because she abandoned him when he needed it. And he's even more hurt that she doesn't even seem to care. She just tries to play it off. So he basically breaks up with her. And because of this, the family problems, he's finding it very hard to write music with Eamon, because they've been writing the music together. Those two are the core of the band. Brendan urges Connor to carry on that legacy to escape the small town. He said he needs to escape the town because if he doesn't leave the town, he's never going to leave, and just make a better future for himself. So they find the opportunity for the band to finally play at the end of the year party at school. They already did their exams, which I love that Barry just was just like, fuck this, and then he gives the monk the middle finger and goes to sleep because he doesn't care. And even after everything, Connor actually manages to strike a friendship with Barry because he visits the house. He notices that Barry's parents are very abusive, alcoholic, just not a healthy environment. So he understands why he's bullying him. And he offers a place in the band as the roadie slash bouncer. He can use violence and all that stuff. It's mostly just to escape his physically and emotionally abusive parents. And yeah, he accepts it. It's a very uplifting thing for a character to do.
Yeah, but also I just want to go with some lyrics about Driver Like You Stole It. This is your life. You can go anywhere. You got to grab the wheel and own it and drive it like you stole it. Rolling, this is your life. You can be anything. You got to learn and to rock and roll it. You gotta put the pedal down and drive it like you stole it. And that's the thing that I, because like you said, is the thing, it's kind of like the message of the whole movie. It's about taking a risk. Brendan says, like, a rock and roll is a risk. It's also like, you know that there's going to be things in the road ahead. It's going to be hard, but if you don't choose your dreams, you're going to be wandering your whole life. And that was kind of like part of Brendan's sin, that he listened to his mom instead of him going away. So he's always going to be feels bad for it. And that's why it's technically the whole message of the movie is for Connor to take a risk, because that's the thing that he's doing. He took a risk to form a band because of a girl for love. And now he has to make the ultimate decision in the final act.
Yeah, and first they got to play the show. We also forgot to mention how Connor gets past the brown shoes scenario. He literally admits, I just painted it black in the art room, which there's an art room where they make a poster for Sing Street as a band and everything to advertise them. People are actually really liking their music. They're a little off at first because, you know, they're a new band. They don't know anything. And yeah, they play some of the music. One is called Girls, which I think is probably weaker than Riddle of the Model, but it's got a good catchy beat. And then On My Way to Find You is a very nice slow song. And Connor prepared a new song called Brown Shoes, which it mocks Baxter. Not only that, but he cut out all the face. He printed out a picture of his face and made masks and gave it to everybody there. While that's happening, Ruffina comes in right before they finish their whole set, and she reconciles with Connor, and then they leave. We saw that before this, that Connor's just hugging everybody, giving everybody a moment. Comes home, asks Brendan, hey, can you drive me to, I believe the place is called Dalbury, or Dalkey, which is the harbor, and he's like, yeah, sure. but when do you want to leave? And they're like, right now. And yes, Brendan finally meets Rafina, and he's like, oh, okay, so this is the girl. And we learn that Brendan is just so happy that he is making this decision. And he goes, well, you better pack up quick before mom and dad notice.
Yeah, because even Connor so was like, I have my tapes, I have the videos. And she's like, I have my portfolio, my photos, and everything. I was like, so you're going to do it, okay?
You know anybody in England? Nope. You have any money? Nope. But they're just doing it because
they want to go.
And they're taking charge of their life. So while he's sleeping, he sees his mom and dad. They're sleeping in separate beds, by the way. Or the dad's sleeping on the floor in a sleeping bag. Just his life is, it's too far gone. He's not shaving. He is just drinking and smoking like crazy. He tells his parents goodbye while they're asleep. Then they go to the harbor, and there's a nice slow moment where Brendan and Connor say goodbye. They just give this long hug, and he's like, just call me tonight, and I will. That was the response Connor gave. While they're leaving, going through that pathway, Brendan just fist pumps in the air and is just like, yes! And it's so uplifting. Yeah. He's just in the car. He just can't believe that his brother is doing what he always wanted to do. And then it's just literally after that, it's just them sailing the sea. It's raining like crazy. And oh my God.
They cannot drive. They cannot drive.
They are so soaking wet. Then they see a giant boat that's full of Irish people going to England. They just wave hi, and then they follow that boat, and you're left with this uplifting feeling, which to me has the message of the movie, which is take control of your own life. Don't be afraid to dream. As long as you persevere, through optimism, you can persevere and accomplish anything, is the message that I got from this movie. And I think it's a message that a lot of people, especially now during this time, could really use. That's really my closing thoughts, and I love Sing Street. What about you, buddy, before we wrap up?
I just wanted to bring up some of the lyrics of the Adam Levine song. So it's like, we got another chance in life. Go on and be wrong, because tomorrow you will be wondering. Don't sit around and take a bit to think it over. You face your head. Don't look ahead now. I see yourself cutting all of the ties. You try so hard to figure out. You're never going to know if you don't go now. You need to find out. And then it says, for brothers everywhere at the end. This movie is great. I love this film. I adore it. I'm so angry at the same time. They didn't get a lot of awards attention. The songs are great. The acting is amazing. Jack Raynor is a standout. Literally, that guy needs to be in more films. Don't fucking bring up his Transformers performance. That was just a big movie. Yeah, but this movie is fucking amazing. Since we started the podcast, I always wanted to do it.
He's not lying. He has literally bugged me about it since the beginning. And I figured, what with a new year, we might as well end this month or go into this month with a bit of optimism, because we could really, really use it.
Yeah, especially because the thing about how it talks about risk, because I feel related to what Connor and Rafina did, because I was like them. I come to LA without nothing. No, barely any money, just credit cards, a bag, and I just hop on a bus and I came to LA. And then that's how the story goes, and Billy knows the whole thing.
Came with a dream.
Yep.
It's the classic immigrant story.
Mm-hmm.
So, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate Sing Street?
It was my favorite movie of 2016. I will give it an 11. It's better than La La Land. Sorry, comments.
I just knew you were going to say that. I'm actually going to give it a 10 as well. I think that,
yes,
you know, through the years, it's going to get a big cult following, much like Once, because Once was the same way. It was a sleeper hit. And it slowly got a bunch of recognition. Sing Street was the same way. And I will highly recommend it to anybody that just wants a good... It's not even a two-hour film. You could put it on, like, any time, any mood. If you just want a good, wholesome, heartfelt movie, I highly recommend that you watch Sing Street. You want to do your plugs, or you have any more closing thoughts?
No, honestly, it's worth the price of admission. It's worth the price of rental. Even it's worth the price of buying it. It's a fucking amazing movie. You can follow me on at Raul Vader RDC on Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Stardust at Raul Vader RDC. And you can follow the podcast at SYNS Pod. And we got some exciting things to do in the future. And you believe?
Yeah, we're futurists.
Yes.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at BBusterBill. All the B's are capitalized. You can also follow me on Instagram at Billy Batson's Lightning. Nothing is capitalized. So yes, this was another episode of See You Next Summer. And again, you can follow the Twitter at SYNSPod. You can give us a review and give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, anywhere podcasts are listened to. And as always, see you next summer.
Bum, a driving line you stole it.